Let's read together the Word of God in Exodus 12, beginning with verse 21. In the first part of Exodus 12, God has given to Moses instructions for the Passover. And now Moses passes on those instructions to the elders of the people of Israel and to the people themselves. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, "Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lentil and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lentil and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he promised, that ye shall keep this service. And it shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, 'What mean ye by this service?' that ye shall say, 'It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses.' And the people bowed the head and worshipped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron. So did they. Then it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he, that's Pharaoh, called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, 'Rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also.' And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, 'We be all dead men.' And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians." That's as far as we read God's word this evening. The sermon text is in verses 21 through 24. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, "Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lentil and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lentil and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. In the sermons that I've been preaching from the book of Exodus, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I've been emphasizing the fact that Israel's history is our history. Emphasizing, for example, that when God said, as he gave Israel his law at Sinai, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, that he was speaking not only to them, but also to us. Our history is the spiritual reality that earthly nation was a picture in the Old Testament. I want to emphasize that again this evening by way of showing you that the Passover, of which our text speaks, is still to be celebrated by God's people in the New Testament. If you think I'm exaggerating when I say that, then I call your attention to the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and there to verses 7 and 8. Where God says to us as New Testament believers, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let us keep the feast. And the reference is to the Passover, as it remains something which the people of God observe in the New Testament. It's true, of course, as one of our creeds says, that the types and shadows of the Old Testament passed away with Christ. But as that same article emphasizes, it's in the Confession of Faith, as that same article emphasizes, the truth and substance of those things remains with us in Christ. And that's true of the Passover as well. The Passover is not ended for God's people. And so the theme of this evening's sermon is the Passover, but the Passover past, present, and future. Those are the things that we're going to be talking about in connection the verses from Exodus, but also in connection with what we read from 1 Corinthians 5. When Israel celebrated the Passover, the rules for that and the actual first observance of the Passover are recorded in Exodus 12, then very obviously the lamb of the Passover was the most important thing. In fact, in Exodus 12, verse 21, the lamb is actually referred to as the Passover. Take you a lamb according to your families, the Word of God says, and kill the Passover. Now, there were other things that had to be done, other things that were eaten as part of the Passover meal, other instructions for the observance of the Passover, but the lamb was the main thing. And it was the blood of the lamb. The lamb itself, of course, was eaten, but it was the blood of the lamb that saved Israel from the angel of judgment who was abroad in the land of Egypt that night. And the blood of the Passover then too, which delivered them from Egypt. Finally, after all of Pharaoh's refusal to let them go, it was the blood of the lamb that delivered them from the angel of judgment and from their slavery in Egypt. We might notice among the instructions for the Passover that the lamb of the Passover was to be eaten whole, not a bone of it broken, and that it was to be roasted with fire and not cooked, boiled in water before it was eaten, and that as the Israelites ate the Passover, they were required to eat it with their robes tied up around their waists, their loins girded, the Word of God says, their shoes on their feet, and their staffs in their hand. And they were to eat it in haste, ready to leave the land of Egypt. Now, the fact that the lamb was roasted and eaten whole without any of its bones being broken is a reminder, among other things, that that lamb was a picture of Christ, as 1 Corinthians 5 says. Even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The fact that Israel ate the Passover with their loins girded and their shoes on their feet is a reminder to us of the fact that the Passover was the way in which God delivered them. And the blood of the Passover lamb was what saved them from the angel of judgment, splashed on the lintel and on the doorposts of their houses. It was their protection from the angel of judgment. And so the Israelites, in obedience to God's command, kept the Passover and were delivered from their slavery in Egypt. That's the Passover as it was celebrated on that night when the firstborn in Egypt were all killed, and as it continued to be celebrated by the Israelites throughout their history, ending, as far as that Old Testament feast was concerned, ending on the night before Jesus became the fulfillment of the Passover, became the Lamb of God who was sacrificed for the sins of his people. There could be then no more bloody sacrifice. And the Passover, as it was celebrated in the Old Testament, was finished. But that wasn't the end of the Passover. As I tried to emphasize in the beginning, the Passover, as far as its spiritual reality is concerned, continues for us in the New Testament. And that's what the Word of God is emphasizing in 1 Corinthians 5. We eat the Passover, the Word of God says there. Eat it with unleavened bread. And eat it, as the Word of God says, because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I want you to try and see. That's the first and main thing this evening. I want you to try and see that in the New Testament, the whole New Testament really, is pictured in what happened that night of judgment and salvation in the land of Egypt. And I want you to see that what happened then is happening now. But to see that, you have to try and think of the whole New Testament as just one day, or even one night. And that shouldn't be so strange either, because the Bible calls the New Testament the Day of the Lord, emphasizing the fact that though for us it's a long time, many, many years, in God's sight, the New Testament is the time when he cuts short his work in righteousness and brings everything to its end. One day, if you will, on God's clock, as the God of judgment and salvation. So try to think of the whole New Testament from the time of the apostles until now, and even until our Lord and Savior comes again, as just a very, very short time, one day. And think of the fact that that day is the day on which the feast of the Passover is celebrated by us. The day in which Christ, that begins with Christ sacrificed for our sins and his blood sprinkled on the doors of our houses for our safety. And then think, too, of the whole New Testament as that day or night in the angel of God's judgment is abroad destroying the Egypt of this world and bringing the judgment of God on the citizens of this world. Think of the 10 plagues and what happened to the land of Egypt. And look at all that happens in this world. Floods, famines, earthquakes, diseases, all the rest. Think of that all in terms of the 10 plagues. And think of it too in terms of God's judgment on this world, judgment that when it is finished will leave this world in the same sad, hopeless condition that the land of Egypt was after the 10 plagues were finished. And think especially of that last plague when God, as it were, in his just judgment, cut off the Egyptians in their children, as God does and will do until the end of the world, when Christ comes again and cuts them off finally and forever. If you can think of the New Testament that way, the day of the 10th plague, the day in which Christ became the Lamb of God, sacrificed for the sins of his people, the day in which that blood, shed blood of Christ, was applied to us and to our houses, then you're seeing the spiritual reality of what the Word of God talks about here in Exodus 12. And you have an idea then, too, of what Paul is talking about and getting at when he says in 1 Corinthians 5, let us keep the feast, not with the leaven of unrighteousness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. For Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. That puts the whole of the New Testament, doesn't it, in a very different light than what you see if you just look around you and observe how wicked our society is, how wicked men increase in wickedness, how everything seems to be against the Word of God, against the church, against God's people. This is, if you see it in the light of Exodus 12, 1 Corinthians 5, and other passages of the Word of God, this is not a day then in which to be discouraged and afraid and worried and troubled, but this is the day of judgment, as well as the day in which Israel goes once again out of Egypt. And thinking of some of those things that we referred to earlier, we live, don't we? With our loins girded, our shoes on our feet, our staffs, our staves in our hands, ready to go out of this world and into that everlasting kingdom which Christ has prepared for us. That's the way we live, isn't it? As those who understand what the Word of God teaches us here in Exodus 12, in 1 Corinthians 5, and in other passages. In fact, what I referred to earlier about Israel eating the Passover, ready to go out of the land of Egypt, brings to mind other passages of the Word of God. Among them, what Paul says in Ephesians 6, when he describes the Christian, loins girded with the truth, on his feet the preparation of the gospel of peace, Paul is describing him not only as one of Christ's soldiers, but as one who, like Israelites, is ready to go out of the Egypt of this world, to go out of this place of bondage, spiritual bondage, and slavery, ready to go to his eternal home in the land of Canaan, the heavenly Canaan. Now, there's a sense in which we are already out of Egypt spiritually. Really, our deliverance from Egypt begins when, by the Spirit of Christ and the work of Christ, we are delivered from the slavery of sin and Satan. That's our going out of Egypt, first of all. And we've made reference to that article in the Confession of Faith that talks about that, the article on baptism, which speaks of the fact that Christ is our Red Sea. We're sprinkled with water in baptism, but that doesn't do anything in itself. The important thing is that we are sprinkled with the precious blood of the Son of God, who is our Red Sea through which we must pass to escape the tyranny of Pharaoh, that is, the devil, and to enter into the spiritual land of Canaan. So in one way, we've been delivered. But we all understand, don't we, that there's another sense in which we still have to go out of Egypt. And that day will not come until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again and delivers us from this world into the blessedness and joy of his eternal kingdom. And that day, every day of the New Testament is really that, but that day especially will be the kind of day that's described in Exodus 12, part of what we read, where you hear there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. The day of the Lord's coming will be a day like that as well. A day in which the angel of judgment is abroad bringing God's eternal judgments on this world in which we live. And that great day when you and I will go finally and forever out of Egypt. Now that's in that great day of judgment as well, thinking of the New Testament as one day, as well as now, it's the blood of Christ that's our protection. The Passover, the word Passover, refers to the fact that that blood was the reason why the angel of judgment passed over the houses of the Israelites. And he continues to do that in the New Testament for the sake of the blood of Christ. And will do that when Christ comes again in all the fury of his righteous anger to execute God's judgments on this world and to deliver us. the blood of Christ that's our protection. Now, that doesn't mean that the plagues, the judgments God sends on this world never touch our lives. First few plagues did touch the lives of the Israelites. God's people can die of COVID. God's people can have their lives and possessions destroyed by floods and famines and by the other judgments of God. But that doesn't change the fact that the blood of Christ is their protection. For them, those judgments, when they touch their lives, are not an evidence of God's anger and wrath against them, but only the way in which he delivers them from this world and brings them to himself in the heavenly Canaan. And that will be our protection too when that angel of judgment comes with his sword at the end of the world to finish the judgment of God on this present wicked world. Then the blood of Christ, too, will be our protection. Saved by the blood of Christ, delivered from Egypt by the blood of Christ, we live like the Israelite did, ready to go out of Egypt. We don't find our home here. We don't find our joys, our contentment, our satisfaction here anymore. We don't eat the feast, keep the feast. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5, with the unleavened bread of wickedness. But keep the feast, or we don't keep it with the leaven of unrighteousness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So what happened to Israel on that unbelievable night was not something that they alone experienced, but something that we too experience here in the Egypt of this world as we wait like them to go out. Something to think about, isn't it? And as I said, puts the whole of the New Testament in a different light. Puts our presence here in the world in a different light. God is working our deliverance even as we speak of these things. And all for the sake of that sprinkled blood of Christ. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. I don't know how much of that the Israelites understood, but I am sure of one thing, that they understood that it was only by the sacrifice and death of him whom God would send, the promised Messiah, that there was any deliverance or any hope for them. Faith, in faith, they saw those things. And though we see more clearly, perhaps, than they did, we too see the spiritual reality of these things. And Christ crucified and the blood of Christ at the center of them. Trust, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ, especially as the times grow dark, and you might remember too that this all came to its head at midnight. But as the times grow darker and the power of evil increases, and it seems that God's people and God's church are left like a besieged city in this world, despised, hated, persecuted, that the more that's true, the more the spiritual reality of Exodus 12 is also true. Surely these are dark and evil days, but this is the day of judgment and salvation, and you and I may not and must not forget that. When everything seems to be against us. It was only, you know, a little bit before this that the Israelites were complaining to Moses about the fact that it seemed to them as though God would never deliver them. That Moses' efforts with Pharaoh only made their situation worse. You have an example of that in Exodus 5. Moses came to Pharaoh and told him that he must let the people go, and Pharaoh's response was to make their work and bondage the heavier, wouldn't give them straw to make bricks any longer, and required of them the same number of bricks that they had made previously. And they came to Moses and complained of that. The Lord look upon you and judge, because ye have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants, to put a sword in their hand to slay us. And even Moses was discouraged and said, Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people, neither hast thou delivered thy people at all. That's the way it seems, doesn't it? When wickedness grows, when wicked men seem to hold all earthly power in their hands, when they can do whatever they please and make life a burden for God's people, then we too are inclined to complain as the Israelites and Moses did. But seeing things in the light of what happened when the Passover was celebrated and when God brought his people out of Egypt, we see all of that in a different way, I trust. That what's happening in this world is all by way of God hardening the hearts of wicked men as he hardened Pharaoh's hearts, that he can bring his judgment upon them. And that for the salvation and deliverance of his own. This is not only the day of judgment, but the day of salvation as well, a day that will end when all that happened that night is finally fulfilled in the coming of Christ and in our deliverance from this world. And when that happens, then as Jesus said to his disciples when he ate the last Passover again, then we will keep the feast forever in the kingdom of God. Keep it in the presence of God. Keep it with Christ our Lord. Keep it as those who, by the blood of Jesus Christ, have been delivered from this world and are now living in our eternal home. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 26, I won't drink of this cup again with you until I drink it again in the kingdom of God. Drink it new with you in the kingdom of God. And that's the future fulfillment of the Passover. And in that day, beloved, the cup, the feast, will be a feast like no other. A day of thanksgiving and joy. A day in which God's people will say to one another what God told the Israelites to say to their children. When your children shall say to you, what mean ye by this service? Ye shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. What a day that will be. And in the hope of that day, we do what Israel did, bow our heads and worship, not despairing, not giving up hope in Christ, not being troubled and distressed by all that happens around us, but bowing and worshiping the great God of our salvation, by the blood of the everlasting covenant, delivers us and our children now and forever from all spiritual bondage. God grant us that and send his Son quickly. Amen.